from your exclusivist organized religions.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
The majority of society's most important laws and virtually all of humanity's fundamental beliefs were first articulated by your earliest mystic teachers, and then by their interpreters and followers. Those followers then passed the teachings of those mystics on to others, and they to others, until, through no deliberate fault of anyone, they became misinterpreted and distorted. And those teachings, in turn, became the basis of your most influential religions. Ultimately, they became your cultural story as well. The teachings seeped into everything, including the law of your land.
It's true, isn't it? Our whole culture has emerged from our religions one way or another.
Of course. It's only natural. Because religions have to do with what people most fervently believe, and it is what you believe that determines how you behave. And so, of course, your culture emerges from your beliefs. And those beliefs, once religious doctrine, purport to tell the religious among you not only what humans should want and desire, but what God wants and desires. And this shows up in many important ways as your society has created itself.
Can you give me an example?
I can give you an excellent one. Same-sex marriage. Many societies have laws against same-sex marriage, and very few have laws supporting it. Yet there's no sound reason in civil law why this should be true. No one is being hurt or damaged by such liaisons.
Are you saying categorically, here and now, that God has nothing against homosexuality or gay marriages?
I'm saying what I've always said. God has no preference and makes no judgment with regard to human behavior. I know you think that God does, and I know that the idea that God doesn't really ruins everything, but that's the truth. Humanity's ideas about itself come from humanity's ideas about God and about life, and those ideas come from humanity's most powerful idea purveyors, namely religions. Even today, at a time when society is bemoaning the influence of other idea purveyors, movies, television, video games among them, religion stands alone as the only idea purveyor able to add the weight of presumed moral authority to its messages. For this reason, few dare to bemoan its influence, although it is precisely that influence which produced such atrocities as the 200 years of the Christian Crusades, or the flying of jetliners into buildings in New York City and Washington, D.C. The point I'm making here is that the weight of religion's moral authority carries tremendous impact. A government can tell you to go to war, and you can claim to be a conscientious objector. Yet if God tells you to go to war in a holy jihad, who is there to tell you to conscientiously object?
No one. If you object to going to war, you've lost all moral ground if you're told that God supports war as a means of dealing with others.
So humans believe they are not supposed to challenge God. Humans believe they are not supposed to challenge what they believe. They believe in this belief, perhaps most of all.
You know what? Humans believe that they must believe what they believe, even if what they believe is unbelievable.
That's very well put. And this is the credo of many. Whatever you believe, do not challenge it, and persecute anyone who does.
Yet isn't it time for us to declare that the emperor is wearing no clothes? When are we going to admit that we believe in a God of extraordinary contradictions, who we say loves and who we say kills, who we say creates and who we say destroys, who we say accepts and who we say rejects, who we say rewards and who we say punishes, who we say brings us good and who we say visits evil upon us, who we say is the all in all and who we say is separate from everything, who we say is everywhere present and who we say is not in us and that we are not?
These completely contradictory beliefs are called sacred and placed in the scriptures of the world's religions. The sum total of all the sacred scriptures of all the world's largest exclusivist organized religions combined into one could thus very well be entitled Benevolent God, Malevolent God.
Or a clever New York editor might suggest calling it Our Two-Faced God. Now that would get attention.
So long as you believe in a two-faced God, you will create ecstasy and terror side by side.